Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Total Screamers podcast. I'm Jake, and today I'm joined by Jed. Say hello, Jed.
Hello, mate.
And we're also joined by Paul. How are you doing, Paul?
How's it going, Jake?
Yeah, not too bad, boys. It's been a bit of a while since we've been together, hasn't it?
Yeah, feels like ages.
Yeah,
it does, it's been a few days.
I know, been busy bees the last few days. But we're here to talk Champions League football again. It's our seems to be becoming our regular Champions League lineup, obviously, with us. So we start at Atletico Madrid, where they were beaten by Chelsea. Olivier Giroud scoring the only goal. And what a goal it was, lads. What did you just make of this one, Jed?
I'll start with the goal. Absolutely insane. Like, at first, I thought it was offside because from the angle of the normal TV camera, and even a lot of the replays, it looks like the Chelsea players flicked it over the top. But obviously, if you see the reverse angle, it's the defender who's like scooped it backwards. But what a goal. But to be honest, the thing I like most about it is that he doesn't have to do an overhead kick there. He could just bring the ball down. He's one-on-one, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he might not have had enough time, fair enough, but he could have just sort of like taken it first time on the volley. But Olivier Giroud is just a cool man, and he applied a cool finish. Credit to him getting up there as well, especially at his age. He's like 34, and he's not exactly a small bloke either. So fair play, brilliant goal, and a worthy game-winning goal that was, definitely.
I like the way wasn't like a powerful overhead kick either. It was just kind of nice floaty one, but it was like right in the corner, so Oblak had like no chance at all because it kind of looked like it was going wide. And then, the wait for it to be like given or whatever. And then they didn't show it on the replays for ages. So I was like, well, obviously it hit the defender. But clearly hit the defender in the end. But it was very, very nice.
Yeah, it was. It was a great goal. And Giroud seems to be like the type of player, and he seems to score like worldies, isn't he?
He scores big goals, doesn't he? He scores some big goals to get them through into, to this part of the Champions League, let alone... Yeah, potentially against Atletico, that could be the only goal of the tie. he's a big game player, isn't he? Obviously, we've talked about him a lot on the podcast in previous weeks and months because he has been so good for Chelsea this season. I think he's going to continue to be a key player for them, potentially to the end of the season. I don't know about next season. You never know whether Tuchel might sort of overhaul the squad, but enjoy him while we can, I guess.
Definitely. Atletico were, I thought, just really lethargic in that game, weren't they? They didn't really offer much. And Luis Suarez looked really frustrated up front on his own and sort of plugging away and didn't really have too many chances. And I thought Chelsea defended really well, nullified any threat that potentially could have happened. And like you say, Jed, an away goal against Atletico Madrid is massive because they're a side that doesn't concede many, especially, I know it wasn't technically at home, but in the home sort of leg. But the way they, if it goes the way it did in the next leg there on Tuesday, then I can't see Atletico overhauling Chelsea in the second leg.
Yeah, I think, like, I'd say Simeone was raging at the goal, just at how like fortuitous it was, because like you could see they just set up with six defenders, like Joe Felix was playing like as a left back, and they had all the actual defenders like pushed into the middle, and it was just madness to watch. Like six at the back, three in the middle, and then Suarez up front. And it's just, I find it just so interesting. You wonder what Simeone's doing. Yeah.
Like they defend so well, though, don't they?
They do it so well.
Like, they defend so well, but then like when you're at home and you need a good result after the first leg, like how are you setting up a team that way? Like, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's always baffled me with Atletico, like the attacking talent that they've had over the years, and how negatively they always seem to play. Like it's such a weird sort of system at that club.
Yeah,
but obviously the fans love it because you know it gets results.
Yeah, well they're doing well in the league this year as well, aren't they? So
definitely. To be honest, I think that's more about the fact that Barcelona and Real Madrid are on the absolute bones of their arse.
But yeah,
I mean, fair play to them. They still have to win all these games. But in terms of watching aside, they're not one that I would want to watch. Definitely
not. No, not for entertainment. Well, not for football entertainment. I do love Suarez and how he just runs around giving people little kicks in the ankle, like he squared up to Rudiger after kicking him, kicked someone else and fell over for free. And he's just so much value for money. Like when he's not actually playing football.
They're great at shithousing, aren't they, as well? Simeone just lives for it as well. Like he will have 100% encouraged that, and Suarez doesn't need any encouragement either, so for that aspect of watching the game is very entertaining, but the actual football they play is, it's really not, considering like you say the talent they've got in the team. The thing is as well, I can see them going into the second leg and setting up exactly the same. They've done that in the past as well, and like in a game where you have to go for it, Simeone will just play the same tactic and they'll not go through, and they'll be like, oh well, no, we lost. So no, if you actually want to be successful, change your tactic a little bit, don't put every man behind the ball when you're chasing the tie, right? But I can guarantee you that's what's going to happen.
That's probably about five
up front now that I've said that.
When they signed that João Felix, because he was obviously like the hottest sort of youngster in the world at the time.
Yeah.
Attacking wise, everyone was like, he's going to be massive. And then he goes to a club where they're not known for playing attacking football at all. And I've seen a lot of like sort of fans slagging him off and, oh, he's not performing. It's like, well, you know, he's playing up top on his own. The team's
not set up for him to perform, is it?
Absolutely not.
It's built from the back 100%. And it's really hard for a centre forward when he's sort of living off scraps, as he kind of has been. I think if Simeone could win every game of the season 1-0, he absolutely would.
Oh, easily.
Oh, yeah.
I think Suarez has done so well for them this year because he's the type of player that he does enjoy, I think, living off scraps. He'll make a chance out of absolutely nothing. We saw that at Liverpool every single week that he was there. He'd just make a chance out of absolutely nothing. And he's a great player. And he's thriving at a shithouse club as a shithouse himself. So, but fair play to Chelsea. I thought they did the job, didn't they? Did what they had to do.
Chelsea obviously, like, defended very well, because I don't think Atletico had a shot or a shot on target or something.
I don't think
they wasted the chances they had. There was one sitter that went sort of across the goal, didn't there? I think, was it Lamar at the back post? Didn't really connect. Yeah. That's their only clear-cut chance, I remember.
But like under Lampard, the game would have been completely different, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Atletico would have won. And probably would have played a little bit more attacking, I guess. I guess they set up knowing that Tuchel's a better manager and better tactician than Lampard, so kind of had to change how they played. Chelsea, like, all credit to them. They did really well. And I'm actually kind of excited for the next game to see how Atletico play. Like, I think they average like 50% possession in the league, so still not that high, but they will probably have to play a little bit more attacking like they do in the league. Then if they get a goal, then it's going to be all out war. Like, they'll just be trying their best to wind up a Chelsea player at any chance. So yeah, it could be a very good second leg.
That's 100% yeah. guaranteed. Isn't it? They're going to be shithousing.
I remember against Liverpool last season, it was atrocious. Like any tackle, just immediately to the ref, asking for a yellow card. Yeah. Like every single tackle, they just never give it a rest. It works though.
Yeah, it does. Obviously, it gets results. Hopefully, we'll see an entertaining second leg. If Atletico get an early goal, then I think it'll be a carnage.
It's game on.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It'll be a train wreck of a match. So that's what I'm hoping for. Suarez to score in like the third minute.
Yeah, exactly.
And then just to watch both teams fall apart.
Well, to be fair, like Chelsea almost gave a goal away right at the beginning of this game. Like they played yeah. themselves into trouble, didn't they? And Mendy almost gave the ball away.
Mendy
in the box. Yeah, so if Atletico can force that sort of mistake again, then you never know. Like it might happen. It'd be great to see that sort of thing happen, wouldn't it? Because we all want entertaining football in the Champions League and not 10 men behind the ball.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Moving on, lads, to a game I don't think any of us had any indication would go any other way. Lazio getting demolished by Bayern Munich. Lewandowski became the third highest goal scorer in this competition. 72 goals. He's overtaken Raul. He's only behind, obviously, Messi and Ronaldo, the two names you expect at the top of that list. What did you guys make of this game?
I think, yeah, Bayern kind of, they took advantage of all the Lazio mistakes, really. And yeah, obviously you're going to, like teams are going to make mistakes, but Bayern just punished them on every single one. But Lazio like continued to play it from the back. Any clips that I saw, it was just, they were just continuing to play it from the back, not like they were 3-0 down, which is, yeah, obviously it's interesting to watch and that they don't like just completely capitulate and just start playing long ball when they have a little man up front or whatever. But yeah, it didn't really work for them. But like those three mistakes, you don't really see them. Like, I don't know if you saw, which goal was it? The third goal? I think Lieva just tripped over his own feet, something like that on the halfway line.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, and it was like the halfway line, you still think it mightn't be a goal, but then yeah, Bayern are just clinical at the moment.
Bayern Munich, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, exactly. In the Champions League, they're incredible.
It seemed to me like Lazio, they to their credit, were still giving it a go to try and get back in the game, but then they got caught, you know, on the break because they've, like I say, given the ball away. And Bayern punished them. Bayern would punish any team in that position. The first goal came off just a bad back pass from the Lazio fullback. And like, if there's one person you don't want that ball to drop to, it's Lewandowski, isn't it? Because he's going to score. It doesn't matter where he is around, you know, within 30 yards of the goal, the ball was going in the net. And it was just, once Bayern sort of found their rhythm and they capitalised on that sort of mistake, I don't think Lazio ever really stood much of a chance. I only saw the highlights of this one. I watched the Atletico Chelsea like you boys, but based on the highlights, it seemed pretty comfortable for Bayern, particularly in the first half. I mean, they were 3-0 up at halftime, which says it all. Credit to Lazio for giving it a go, because you've got to, haven't you, against Bayern. Otherwise you'll get nothing, but this game's over now, isn't it? This tie is done. They're not going to go to Munich and win and overturn that deficit there, are they?
Especially with 4-0 goals.
Mobley's good, but he's not that good. Yeah.
No, I agree with you. The goals, Bayern didn't really have to work for their goals. Sort of Lazio, like you say, sort of gave them to them.
It was like, and pass it to Sané, he can run fast and he'll just get into the box and make a chance happen.
Definitely. And like you say, if you're going to do silly back passes, don't do it when Lewandowski's around, because the last sort of like 18 months, he's been absolutely unbelievable. And like you say, he'll find the net from anywhere. But it's Lazio gave it a go, and their goal was really good, actually.
Their goal was nice, yeah.
Yeah, they could actually
have had another one as well. At 1-1, I think they had a great chance when they one of their players got fouled kind of at the edge of the box, but the ball like ran through, and I don't know if he had the shot, but he should have definitely scored, and that was a 1-0. So
I haven't watched the highlights. I think they should have had a penalty as well at one point, which didn't get given. Which I don't know if that's the same chance that you're talking about, Paul. But he sort of, the player was running through, and
with Boateng.
Got body checked. It was either on the edge or inside the box. To me, it looked like a foul. That was a bit harsh, to be honest, to not give the pen there. In the Premier League, I think that's definitely a penalty. But it's weird, isn't it? You feel like it's always the other way around when the European games.
Yeah, it's completely different, actually, isn't it? Like, even VAR seems like the offside thing is way more just like benefit to the attacker a little bit. It's not so drawn out. Even like the Aubameyang goal tonight, like it was just kind of given after like 10 seconds rather than all the lines being drawn and like 5 minutes later. And yeah, it's just seems completely different. Like, not a different sport, but it's just bizarre. Like, there's different offside rules or something.
Like you say, with the difference between the two, I mean, sort of 10 years ago or longer, you know, English teams hated going to Europe because the referees would give fouls for anything.
Yeah.
But like now, I mean, when I watched Liverpool the other week against Leipzig, the referee was far better than any Premier League referee I've seen. He was letting like things go. You know, he wasn't blowing his whistle every time, you know, the flag was going up for offsides like straight away. VAR, like you say, Paul, it didn't go on for sort of 20 minutes. And you're thinking, well, the linesman's given it. You've checked it five times. Just give the decision. But yeah, I think UEFA have obviously got something working.
So. Yeah, I actually think it works perfectly. And maybe it's not. Mm. It might be that we don't like watch the Champions League isn't on every single weekend, and you don't watch it all the time. But in the Premiership, it just seems like annoying, like the level of offside that they go into. Not to like, I don't know, everyone goes on about it and stuff, but it does seem completely different. And that in the Champions League, they actually use it properly. So there is like a working method that the Premier League could look at to like use it effectively, where they just, it doesn't seem the way at the moment anyway.
I think they like, they sort of nitpick a little bit more in the Premier League, don't they, with things like handball.
Yeah.
The only real issue I remember there being with VAR in the Champions League is for handball. I think there was Man United at PSG last year or the year before. There was a dodgy one. Yeah. That's the only really contentious decision I remember. And every other one seems to be like, yeah, we've reviewed it. We've made a judgment. And it's done quite quickly. I'm not sure whether they look at decisions that aren't given, like potentially that penalty shout for Lazio in this game. But yeah, even if that was given, the Bayern still would have won the game, wouldn't they? What do you make of the youngster Musiala? Is it Musiala scored the second goal for Bayern?
Yeah, he's just. I think he's come out and said he's going to be German international as well, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Which, I mean, fair play to him. I mean, I think he's lived there forever, so.
It makes sense, yeah.
Why would you not pick them? I'd rather, definitely rather be in the German national side than the English one, if I had the choice between the two.
he actually said something like, so I think he was born in Germany, moved to England when he was like five, and then played for Chelsea, but he actually came out and said he had like, what he said was he thought he had a better chance of playing for Germany than he did for England.
I think he probably does, to be honest.
But
they bring youngsters through a little bit differently, don't they, in Germany?
Yeah, they do. But, yeah. Better chance of winning things, I think, is what he meant to say.
100%, yeah. Absolutely.
He just didn't want to say that.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Like Billy said in the group chat, lads, Gareth Southgate would probably stick him at left back or something anyway. And just
at the end of it.
You could be Ben Chilwell's number two. but yeah, no, he does look like a real talent. I think he's the youngest English Champions League goal scorer, whether he turns German again and Oxlade-Chamberlain gets that.
Yeah, we'll claim
that,
it.
Stat back.
I'll take it.
whether he gets that back or not, but it was a good finish.
A great finish, yeah.
Yeah.
If he continues the way he has been, from what I've seen of him this season, then he could have one massive career. That is 100%.
I mean, he's probably going to end up one massive bloke if he stays at Bayern as well. Like, well, they're all absolutely like built like brick shithouses, aren't they now? Like, I don't know what they feed them there, but like they're all just absolutely like massive units, aren't they? Like, in terms of physicality, like it, you can go from being a sort of lightweight player to beefing up and becoming, you know, a powerhouse if you're playing for that club.
It's all the Bratwursts, mate. That's what it is.
Bratwurst and beer.
Bratwurst and beer, yeah. I mean, like you say, Goretzka went, like, one season he was
a normal guy.
And then the next year he had arms the size of Schwarzenegger's. And it's like, where have they come from?
I know. It's mad. Like, it happened to Coutinho as well, isn't it? When he was there, he sort of bulked up a bit as well. Oh, really? Like, I think it can only do this lad, you know, only do him good, especially being a young player, because they're often not, you know, as physical as senior pros. But yeah, I think he's a promising youngster, isn't he? You're getting a game for Bayern at 17. It must be decent.
This is it. I mean, he's 17 years old and he's starting for Bayern Munich in the Champions League. I mean, you can't get much bigger than that.
When I was 17, I worked at Toys R Us.
In Germany.
Sadly not.
Was it in Cov, mate? Was it?
It was, yeah, it was. I'm declared for Coventry.
There we have it. We've got the young lad in Germany scoring the Champions League and Jed's in Toys R Us. Trying to sell Lego to children. right, moving on, boys, to Wednesday's games. Like we said off air, the worst of the games. quite a dull day yesterday, I think, for Champions League.
It was the same last week as well, weren't it? I mean, it wasn't it wasn't dull last week, but like Tuesday was more entertaining than Wednesday.
Absolutely.
Just play more games on Tuesday.
Play them all.
Yeah.
But we'll start with Atalanta Real Madrid. Madrid scraping a 1-0 win in the end, I think. Ferland Mendy scoring what, to be fair, was a worldie. I think it's the only way you can really describe it. And Atalanta were down to 10 men before 20 minutes were played. So they sort of were quite happy to sit back and not really do a lot.
Yeah.
What did you make of this game, Jed?
I didn't watch this one. Well, I saw the highlights. It seemed like the red card basically just killed Atalanta's chances of getting anything out of the game. Real Madrid looked in control from the highlights. Every highlight pretty much was them. And if they had been a bit more clinical, it could have been a different story. But, you know, they've gone there, they've got the win. That's, you know, job done, essentially, isn't it? But I do think the red card was a bit harsh, though, to be honest. I wanted to get your opinions on it as well.
I didn't think it was a red.
I think it doesn't seem like an obvious goal-scoring opportunity to me. Yes, he's one-on-one, but he's at an angle, and the angle is not really the angle's against the centre-forward there, isn't it? So I think it's harsh to have sent the defender off. It's a clear foul, no arguments about that, but to send him off was harsh, and that's clearly changed the game. Unlucky Atalanta in that regard, but Real Madrid after that, just like I say, seemed in control.
I'd agree with you, mate. I don't think it was a red card. No, it was definitely a foul, it was definitely a booking, but it wasn't a sending off for me. It's probably one in England that you would get sent off for. But like the standard of officiating the Champions League has generally been solid. So I didn't think they would send him off for it, but obviously they did. Paul, did you see the red? Did you?
I didn't think it was a sending off either. It's kind of a weird one, right? Cause you never really see like people kind of clean through to the left of the goal. So he would have definitely got a shot on target, but yeah, it just didn't seem like it should have been a red for whatever reason. It just kind of killed the game. Like Atalanta are kind of known for playing attacking football. So it could have been like a brilliant game, but then they just went defensive as you would when you go down to like 10 men so early. Real just kind of played it around a little bit, but no real chances. I think like you mentioned the highlights, I think in 4 minutes, the highlights that I saw, there was like three tackles. It's like obviously a terrible game if you're shown tackles as the highlights.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of like blocked shots and things like that, and corners. They were all Real Madrid corners, though.
They were. It was a bit of a pity that the game got changed because of the red card. Then the goal was class. Yeah, it was a lovely goal on his right foot as well, which is very nice.
Yeah, very good goal. Do you know what? I actually don't. I'm not a fan of a short corner. I think just put it in the box. Get it in the mixer. Get ahead on it. That's the way I think corners should be taken. But to their credit, Real Madrid have worked that brilliantly because they've just passed it out to sort of within sort of 30 yards or so, come into the middle and Mendy's just gone, yeah, fuck it, I'll have a go. And, and obviously he's pulled off a world eater finish. So fair play to them. Still prefer to see him put it in the mixer, but you know, good goal. I think it's a finely balanced tie, this one, isn't it? Because Real Madrid aren't exactly amazing. They've been beaten in recent years in the Champions League at the Bernabeu as well. Like Ajax went there and beat them, didn't they? So it's every chance that Atalanta could go and walk away with, you know, with the win and potentially get themselves through, because 1-0 was not, you know, the most difficult scoreline to sort of overcome. Be interesting to see what happens in the next tie, this one.
No, that's it. We've seen Atalanta go to Liverpool and win. They've won at Anfield, yeah. So we know, yeah, you know that they can definitely beat sides, and Real Madrid have not looked comfortable all season. But they've like definitely been, Zidane's been under a lot of pressure. Their side have had a few injuries, and to be fair, Atalanta down to 10 men, and Real Madrid sort of quite struggled to break them down, I think. And you know, 1-0, like you say, the tie is definitely not over. And if Atalanta can keep 11 men on the pitch in the next one, then they can certainly, hopefully, liven the tie up and cause Madrid some problems. Only time will tell. But moving on to a game I caught a little bit more of, Borussia Mönchengladbach, Man City. Man City, 19 consecutive wins now after beating Gladbach 2-0. Two away goals. I think the big talking point from this game, though, boys, is Pep Guardiola's atrocious jacket. Jed, opinion on the coat?
Not a fan. Not a fan. I think if you're looking for a circular logo on a black background, Total Screamers would have been the better choice.
Oh yeah,
but yeah, I don't know what's going on with it. Like, why?
Like, so it looked like a normal bold, jacket as well.
It's
kind of like when you see a normal haircut and they have a mullet or something.
Yeah. Business in the front, party in the back.
I think the only saving grace is maybe that City made him wear it, because otherwise, like, it's just a terrible jacket. Like, who's buying that?
Pep seems to wear what he wants, though, doesn't he? Like, he's always got like relatively fashionable jumpers and hoodies on and that. And like, maybe he likes it. You never know. Like, it's just it's not working for me.
Do you think he's sort of sat there on the bus or the plane over, and like Sheikh Mansour's gone to him, so I've got a jacket for you to wear. And Pep's like, oh great, like, you know, these have looked great, and then he's pulled that out. And do you think it's like one of those like Christmas presents you get where you don't really like it, but then they tell you to put it on?
Yeah, and you're of course I'll wear it. Yeah,
and then he's gone in the dressing room. You make sure you wear that jacket. And Pep's like, oh god.
I reckon he's gone, if you wear this jacket, I'll give you another 500 million to spend in the summer. And he's like, right, I'll wear it all season.
You could buy a new left back.
I wonder if it's going to catch on.
Or if he wears, do you think he'll wear it again? That's a serious question, though.
Oh, I kind of do. I feel like Man City are going to keep solidarity in their fashion choice, and Pep's going to be like, you know what? I like this jacket. I'm going to go for it. Maybe it's really cozy. Like, you never know.
Champions League jacket. Do you think that's what it is?
Potentially, yeah.
He's never worn it in. He can't wear that in the Premier League, can you?
Yeah. Definitely will. Now, I reckon he is going to stick with it. I think we'll see it at least once more.
Right, moving on to the game, lads. what did you make about the City Mönchengladbach game?
City were good, kind of controlled it all. Too good. Like, it very much looked like top of the Premier League versus whatever mid table in the Bundesliga. Like, I think Mönchengladbach's shot on target came at the very, very last kick of the game. But yeah, it's kind of a little bit boring watching these games, isn't it? When you know just City were going to get the goals. The goals are actually lovely. Cancelo played in two lovely assists for both of them, so they're very nice. But yeah, City just like look unbeatable at the moment. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see how long it lasts. Like, it's obviously got to end sometime. But yeah, they're just kind of like on autopilot at the moment, just playing very, very good football.
Yeah, they certainly are. I mean, City's bench from yesterday, like some of the names, like De Bruyne didn't come off the bench. John Stones, Mahrez, Aguero.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that Man City are pissing the English league, and it's because they can leave, you know, £500 million on the bench, and other squads can't compete with that. But do you think this is a year City can get to the final? Do you think they can win it? Do you think they'll get to the final? Or do you think that it's some sort of weird curse that they just can't get past the semis?
I think all of the above. I just want to say as well, I think the main reason why De Bruyne didn't get off the bench is because he was just absolutely transfixed by Pep's jacket whenever he was facing the play. I actually do think Man City do have a strong side this year in terms of you know, not just the Premier League, in the Champions League as well. Like, the teams that you can see them losing to, really only Bayern Munich, potentially PSG, on the strength of their performance last week. I think a place in the final is definitely achievable. I think semi-finals minimum for them. But it depends on obviously who they get, if they do keep everyone fit. But even if they don't, you know, they've had De Bruyne out for quite a large spell this season and they've still been fantastic. That's when they've really sort of like hit their form. So it's looking good for them at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, City have always been able to get to the final. It's just never happened for them. So I think it's a little bit different. I reckon their defence is a little bit better than previous seasons now. Like, Stones is playing very well and Ruben Diaz has turned out to be, like, a great signing.
Yeah.
So that could be the difference and help them to get to the final. But I don't know. Yeah, they haven't even really got close recently. So
it'd
be interesting to see. Like, it's definitely not a shoo-in. See what happens. But there aren't that many teams that could beat them either.
Last year did they go out in the quarterfinals last year? I think they got done by Lyon, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I think last season it was probably doable because they hadn't won the league and probably weren't as strong. This year, I think, is the year that if they're going to go and win both, like win the Champions League and the Premier League, I think this is the year. Just because they seem so far ahead of everyone in the Premier League right now. And in the Champions League, like you say, they never really had to get out of like second, third gear in this game. As you said earlier, it was definitely a top of the league side against a mid-table German side. As I say, Cancelo's delivery from the left-hand side for both the goals was fantastic. They just looked really, really strong. I could definitely see them going all the way.
I think the worst thing for City would be getting Bayern Munich or PSG in the quarterfinals. I mean, but then, you know, if they beat one of those, if they get one of those sides, knock them out. I mean,
massive.
The route to the final is sort of clear.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of pressure on Guardiola to win this trophy for Man City. I think that was the reason he was brought in to City, was to win them this trophy. And this pressure, I think he's put himself under pressure to win it as well, because obviously he didn't win it when he was at Bayern. And there was pressure there, and he should have probably won it at Bayern with a squad that he had. You know, he's not won it for a long time, and he'll want this trophy badly. But it's funny to watch City go out every season when they're the favourites every single year. And they, you know, last season, Lyon. I mean, no one would have expected that. and it happened the year before. It was like Tottenham and then like Liverpool. I mean, there's something they haven't been doing right in Europe. But maybe no fans will potentially help them out in that regard. But this is, I agree with you. I think this is their best year to win the Champions League. If they're going to win it, this is definitely the one. Do you see Pep leaving without winning the Champions League for City?
No.
Or do you think he stays until he wins it?
I think he's going to stay until he wins it. And then he'll go probably back to Barcelona.
Hopefully at the end
of
this season, he leaves them.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because like, whoever they bring in to replace him, are they going to be able to pull that jacket off? Like, you don't know. Like, these are the questions you've got to think about, isn't it? I think that's quite a good threat for him as well. It's like, you don't win this trophy, you have to wear that jacket every week. That's motivation in itself. I do think he'll leave. Obviously, he's not going to be there forever. Once he's won it, he's sort of won everything there is to win. I think he'd probably stay for one more season after, so he can have a go at the Club World Championship and whatever. And then after that, he'll go, for me. I see that happening, just because I think he's like, my work's done, I'll move on somewhere else. I see that as being the natural sort of progression.
It seems like that from his career, doesn't it? That's what he sort of does. He does pretty much all that he can, wins everything he can, and then sort of moves on to the next super club who will give him whatever he wants to spend.
Yeah. I mean, if he was ever going to stay anywhere, he would have stayed at Barcelona, wouldn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'd like to see what he could do at, say, Tottenham or somewhere like that, where Daniel Levy is going to give him about a fiver. tell him that he's just got to work with the squad that he's got, unless he sells like half the squad to buy one player. But I genuinely would like to see Guardiola at a side that doesn't have, like, isn't Barcelona, Bayern Munich, you know, Man City, the side that's expected to win the league every year. I'd like to see them at an average sort of club and see genuinely how good he actually can be. Like, because
I do think he still has a great manager, some sort of degree of success, to be honest. Like, I think that as a coach, he's obviously very good. He gets the best out of his players and sets them up, you know, the way he wants them to play. So I think he could bring that into any team. But like I say, it's the quality of those players that would probably be the issue. If he hasn't got the players to do what he wants, then potentially, you know, he won't be as successful. And you know, it's not exactly been, you know, Man City have been amazing the whole time he's been there. Obviously, they've had spells where they've not been great. So it would be really interesting. Will we ever get to see it happen? Probably not.
No,
you'd love him to do a Bielsa and take over, like a big club or a lower league club, and just see what happens.
Get him at Coventry, Jed.
Oh, mate. He'd have to drag Mark Robbins away from us.
Mark Robbins, assistant manager,
I don't think anyone would be happy with that decision right now. Like, what are you doing? put Mark Robbins at Man City and they win the Champions League. And he'd pull off that jacket as well.
Mark Robbins, the only man able to pull off that jacket.
Nobody would even question it. Oh, yeah, fair play.
Fair play. Right, boys, one final question before we end. Who do you think wins the Champions League this year?
Bayern Munich.
Paul?
I am thinking Liverpool get to the final and play Bayern, and beat them.
Liverpool.
I think Bayern beat Man City 3-2. Champions League final. After extra time.
I think PSG will go all the way this year and lift the trophy. I think Mbappe will fire them to glory, and then he'll leave and go to Liverpool.
With Haaland.
Replace Roberto Firmino up front for Liverpool, and Liverpool will win everything forever. obviously, that's just my dream. No, I think PSG will go all the way this year. I don't know why. I've just got a weird feeling that they'll outdo themselves, and it probably be a repeat of last year's final.
Imagine Pochettino going and winning the Champions League there. That'd be amazing.
That'd be massive for him.
Interesting. Three good choices, boys. But that's all we got time for this week. Bit of a quiet episode, obviously, only four Champions League games a week, but managed to make the best of it. So thank you to all the listeners. We've actually got some quite big announcements potentially coming up in the next few days. So keep your ears tuned on our Twitter and our website for things coming out. And firstly, thank you, Jed.
No worries, mate.
And thank you, Paul.
Cheers.
And thank you to all of our listeners once again. Cheery bye.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.